Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue, and I believe that we will finish our teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 5 through 11. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have been partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. So we see we should not reject the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when he rebukes us. Amen. Because in the end, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, if it were the trials, tribulations, and tests that chastens us, they would have the net result of making us righteous. But those things do not make you righteous. They can bring pain and hurt to you. Keep in mind that what part of your threefold nature is affected by temptations, trials, tests, sickness, disease, and poverty? It is your body. And of course, your soul or your mind can also be affected because you have to think about the problems. But basically, tests and trials hit your body. Notice what Hebrews 12, verse 9 tells us. It says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The Father of spirits and live. Yes, we are spirits, and our Heavenly Father is a spirit. Now, many Christians do not understand this verse. The first part of it says, furthermore, we have human fathers. Now, right away, the word human should alert us to the fact that God is going to show us a contrast between human and something else. Otherwise, you would not have to say human. What else would be an earthly father but be human? The contrast comes in the latter part of the verse when Paul calls God the Father of spirits. The reason God is the Father of spirits is because we are spirits. God cannot be called the Father of our flesh because we are not flesh. He cannot be called the Father of our souls because we are not souls. God is the Father of spirits. Jesus came to redeem spirits. Amen. When our spirits are redeemed, our bodies get to tag along for the benefit. Please go to John chapter 4. Again, that's John chapter 4, and we're going to read verse number 24. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we see that God is a spirit, and we are not only his creation, but for those of us who have accepted him as Savior and Lord over their lives, we are also his children. If God is a spirit and we are his children, we must also be spirits. Just think about it. A black man and a black woman coming together cannot produce a white baby. Two white people coming together cannot have a black child. Two Asians cannot come together and produce a Mexican-American child. My point is, God is our Father. We have to be whatever he is. Our DNA has to match his. Since sickness, disease, trials, and tests affect your flesh, how can God use these things to train you when you are not flesh, but spirit? Cancer does not affect your spirit. Heart attacks do not affect your spirit. Pneumonia does not affect your spirit. Not even COVID or its complications affect your spirits. Therefore, God could not be the one using these things to train you because you are a spirit. And nothing that God would do to your flesh would affect your spirit. God contacts, he leads, He guides, He trains, and instructs us through our spirit, because that is the lamp He uses. Amen. Please go to Proverbs chapter 20. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 20, and please go to verse 27. And it says, "The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart." Amen. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 11. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Amen. God uses our spirits as He contacts, guides, trains, and instructs us by His word. Now, please go to the book of Romans chapter 8. Again, that's Romans chapter 8. And let's read verse number 16. And let's see the confirmation of this statement. Romans 8:16. It says, "The Spirit Himself bear witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God." Amen. So God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. And that's how He communicates with us, through our spirits. God's Spirit does not bear witness with your flesh or with your soul. It bears witness with your spirit. God trains and teaches us by His word, because His word was designed for our spirits. Amen. As Jesus spoke in John 6, verse number 63. Please go there. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus is speaking, and it says, "It is the Spirit that gives life." That gives what? That gives life. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and are life." Amen. So the words that God speaks from His spirit to our spirit, they are spirits and they are life. Amen. The words that God speaks are addressed to your spirit, not to your flesh, not your mind or your soul. God is the Father of spirits, and He uses His word to train our spirits. Amen. The man who endures will be blessed. Amen. The man who endures will be blessed. Please go to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Let's read that again. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptations." Now, I have expressed before that in order to have a meaningful conversation with another person, or you are teaching on a particular subject, you must have an understanding of the meaning of certain words used in that discourse. And in this scripture, we have such a situation before us. Just as we have learned by chastening, the Greek word translated here means endure. It does not mean what you might think it means. In our English language, endure means to sit quietly and to put up with. It means to sit quietly and to put up with. Now, let me give you an example of this. You broke your tooth playing basketball and exposed a nerve. You would have to endure the pain and irritation you are experiencing from that broken tooth and exposing that nerve. In other words, you have to put up with it until your dentist can fix your tooth. Amen. Now, in James 1, verse 12, endure means something entirely different. The word in this verse means to go through a situation. Endure means to go through a situation, to stand right in the midst of it and have victory over it. Hallelujah. You come out better after it is over than you did before it started. James 1, please. And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And it says, blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom which there is no variation or shadow of turning. Amen. So we see that every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from God. Temptations, trials, and tests are not good, and they are not perfect. Sickness and disease are not good, and they certainly are not perfect. Sin is not good, and it is not perfect. Therefore, none of those things are from the Father. Amen. None of them. Every good gift comes down from God, from heaven. If every good gift comes down, then that means every bad gift must come up from the sinful pit, because up is the opposite of down. God sends down the good things, and Satan must be sending up the bad things. Temptations, trials, and tests are bad because they damage your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God would not create or cause any condition that will have a negative effect on your body. This includes tumors and all malfunctions inside your body, especially the ones that may force a doctor to operate in order to keep you alive. If God was the cause of all these malfunctions, he would be destroying his own temple. God wants your body intact, every organ in place and functioning properly, every limb and member functioning as he designed it to operate, because your body is the place in which he dwells. Amen. The chastening of the Lord is never bad, and it does not destroy or change you. It blesses you. You gain from it because you learn how to win in life. Do not resent it when your Heavenly Father attempts to teach you. Rather, you should welcome it, because all you will do is succeed when you apply what you learn from God in your life. The only thing that you will do is be a winner in life. Amen. And I like to win. Once you understand the application, you will love being chastened by the Lord. You will look forward to his instruction, and no matter what the enemy will attempt to attack you with, if you remain true to God's teaching, and you will always come out of the situation and circumstances better than you were before you started. You will always win. Amen. And that is the teaching on whom the Lord loves, he chastens. It is my prayer that you got something from it and that you understand that the chastening of the Lord, it blesses you. It makes you a winner in every area of your life. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, we're going to start a new teaching. We've just finished the chastening of the Lord. And this new teaching is going to be somewhat eye-opener to some and just a reminder to others. Now, I haven't given it a name as such, but I'm going to give you a title that you can kind of go along with as we begin our teaching on this particular subject. And the title that I've given it is The Lust of the Flesh, The Lust of the Eyes, and The Pride of Life. Again, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All right, you have your Bibles. Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 20 to 23. And it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Amen. The Word of God always gives us sound advice and instructions on how we should live our lives to be successful in this dying world. And these verses are no different. As I was reading the news the other day, I came across a news article that was somewhat depressing if you allow it to depress you. The title of the article was, People Who No Longer Want to Go to Church, and the 17 reasons why they no longer want to go. Let me read that title again. The title of this news article that I was reading was, People No Longer Want to Go to Church, and the 17 reasons why they no longer want to go. Now, the title alone was shocking to me in itself, because why do people not want to go to church? Me personally, I could not wait for Sunday to be able to go to church and to fellowship with people of like precious faith and to hear the word from the man of God. Amen. Especially when the word is wonderful and he's teaching on a subject that is very interesting and is dear to your heart. I love to be at church. I would never miss a church. No way. Remember, the Bible is not written for sinners. It is a book for Christians. It is our roadmap for our lifestyle here on earth. But I will be using the Bible as a contrast with these 17 excuses people don't want to go to church anymore. Now, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25. And it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's interesting because this verse says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we consider each other because we want to give each other love and good works in each other's lives. And it says that we shouldn't forsake the assembly of ourselves, but exhorting one another, because we know that the day is approaching. And the day that is approaching is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Believers can have a tremendous impact on each other. That is why we are exhorted to gather together. Exhorting means coming alongside and inspiring another with the truth. It means coming alongside and inspiring another with the truth. We should inspire one another with the truth of the Word of God. Amen? The local assemblies is where the gospel message is preached, but also where the Word of God is applied to the circumstances of our lives. Even though we don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return, but we do know it's intimate, and we should encourage each other even more to remain faithful to Him. Amen? Let's get down to what we have come here today for, and that is the teaching of the Word. Amen? As I was reading the daily news the other day, I told you I came across this article that dealt with people who no longer want to go to church. Well, you know what? My time is just about up for today. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.